time is 8:07. Another beautiful start here in North Central Wisconsin at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. An even freezing 32 degrees under fair skies. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we will be speaking to the executive director of the Grand Theater in Wausau and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, Sean Wright, about the activities going on here in North Central Wisconsin at the top venue for live entertainment, the Grand Theater. But here in hour number one, as we do every other Wednesday, spend the first hour talking about what's going on with Bob Look. And Bob, good to see you again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning there, Chad. And yeah, as, you know, sometimes there might be people who don't know my background in that.
Come on. I know what you mean.
Who's this Bob Look character?
I tell you.
Broadcasting. Did that for a long, long time, since 1974.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That means celebrating the big 5-0 in broadcasting.
Yeah.
50 years in broadcasting.
Yeah, well, they have had about a 6-year hiatus from.
I think everybody that works in this business has a hiatus at some point.
Yeah, it's just a change of things. And but no, I
sometimes the hiatus. Sometimes the hiatus is that brought on by people, not by yourself, by other
correct
people.
By other things. And yeah, that's been what I've been a candidate for a public office on a couple of occasions. So, you know, so that's basically my background. As I like to put on my Facebook, I'm just a guy.
There you go. Also, got to make sure to say good morning to Ian Welsh. Just a guy as well, across the glass.
Good morning.
Yeah, our in-studio engineer.
Thank God Ian was there to open up the door because I was freezing outside.
Oh, geez. You know,
it is pretty cold out there right now.
Ian saved my life,
oh,
I think.
Oh, please.
I think I owe him something.
Been curled in a corner there. But Ian, good to talk to you. We'll hear more from you as we continue throughout the morning, but good to see you again.
Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Before we start, you know, it's like you talk about this era. I left my phone at home, and I don't know whether to be happy or sad about that, because I'm partly happy that I don't have my phone. I won't have my phone for a number of hours now, so it's like,
good move.
I think that's actually a good thing. Do you think it's a good thing or bad thing?
Especially if he likes to still get those robocalls.
Because I see your phone sitting right in front of you. Yeah. Never too far away.
Yeah, well, I also kind of have to keep tabs on my older brother and things of that nature, so that's why it is, you know, kind of attached to me all the time. But, you know, I also like to keep right up to date on the latest stuff that's going on in the world. And one of my friends, State Senator Chris Larson, of the state legislature on the state Senate side, I was reading his do you call them Twitters anymore or tweets? So then it's because it's now changed it to X.
Postings now, I think.
Whatever they want to call it. But he
tweets was such a nice word too. Yeah. Everyone knew what that meant.
Yeah, he wrote yesterday, we just had the dumbest day imaginable, and it may be the last day the state Senate of Wisconsin meets for the year. And this was in the commentary about a story that was posted about the state Senate fires 8 Democratic appointees, including 2 UW regents. And basically, the state Senate's work, it could be done as of today for the rest of the year.
I was going to say that, man,
the part-time job.
Well, as disappointed as you may have been, you know, a couple years ago when you didn't get the votes to become state senator, you got to think now, man, I could have had like a nice 9-month vacation here with pay.
Unfortunately, probably I would be one of the people there who would say, no, we're not done.
But, you know, they would be pushing you out, though, all those Republicans. They say, no, we got to get out of here.
Now they're calling me right now probably to complain.
Devin Lemahusen, stop it. But let's talk about that. You just mentioned the firings again. I mean, again, it's something that had not been part of, you'd call it the political playbook by the party in power until just recently.
If a governor, whatever political persuasion, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, if they're putting those people on there, they should have, you know, I mean, you do your due diligence to make sure that the person that you're putting in a position is not just several carts short of a full deck, okay? Right. But what I'm saying is that you've got to, you know, that's the person who's in charge at that time. You just, okay, yeah, that they want those folks, you know, a part of their administrations. And by doing, it's nothing more than a hissy fit that they're still probably throwing about the fact that the state Supreme Court voted that the districts and all that were all just unfair, and they're getting their last revenge, I guess, would might be the way they're looking at it, because they're going to have to work now to probably win some of those guaranteed assemblies and state Senate districts in the state are no longer as easily won.
But the whole thing, again, is about the respect of the voters. It comes because the governor did the governors and the Senate have to face the entire state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And if the state of Wisconsin and their voters elect somebody, there is that sort of, they have a mandate to be able to have people around them, unless you hit it on the head, unless somebody,
if you find out
right,
by your investigation that this person is somehow not really qualified, or maybe just not the kind of person that you'd want in that position. I mean, you can do that very easily, but just because you're angry because they're not of the same party, and that they're trying to maybe just get a little revenge for the districts now being redrawn, and some of these assembly people that have had guaranteed districts are now all combined in the same district. I got to figure out who's going to go where.
And the thing about it, you hear about, oh, these people are going to move. You actually hear about, oh, we're going to move to the other district. I mean, come on. What kind of shell game are you guys playing right now?
again, that's the rules that they're
know,
in there.
I know.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to be a major, when we get done with Election Day in November? Because it sounds like, again, it is going to be significant. We're going to see a significant shift. Do you think that's going to happen?
Maybe. Again, I don't prejudge how each individual assembly district or each state Senate district or that, or each just community.
Right.
I really can't really put who shows up, who puts the time in to vote. A lot of those primaries where you have decisions on who is going to be the standard bearer for the particular parties, the Democratic or Republican parties, you have people like, you know, what, 10%? 15%
right.
of the voting eligible people even bother with it. That's dangerous. And I remember, you know, back living in South Dakota, they had one of those early primary votes. Or anyone, we want to get rid of all this video poker, legalized gambling that they had in the state of South Dakota at that time, which was the second highest stream of revenue for the state of South Dakota. Okay.
Right.
And so we got to ban this. Well, they had this early primary worth 10% of the vote, maybe 15, and it squeaked by just a few votes. So they shut the machines down in all these bars, restaurants, and all that kind of stuff. Well, then the next thing they go, well, what we're going to do is this. We're not taking them out of these restaurants or bars or things like that. They're going to come to the next primary and reissue it when there's going to be more voters. And it lost by more than 2-1. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, you see that a lot with that manipulation of elections.
If you think that your vote doesn't count, my friends, it does.
And also, how do I put this? The knowledge of the voters. I start to really... And we even talking about that first issue about Republicans, you know, basically, as you say, having a hissy fit and saying, qualified candidates that are put up by the governor. Well, we just want to take a chunk of the hide out of the governor.
Yeah. And then you have your state offices or the state that's supposed to be serving the people can't serve the people efficiently because they've been cut back or they didn't fill the positions.
I'm going to admit it, when Katie Britt came on the television last Thursday night, did you know she was a senator from Alabama? I did not.
To be honest with you,
I thought she was a state senator, to be honest with you, when they first said, oh,
when I saw it, I said, oh, okay. But I didn't hang around for the actual.
No, no, but I just mean, I mean, I tend to follow this pretty closely.
Yeah.
I did not, I had not heard of this woman until last Thursday night. I just, again, it shows that you have, there has to be a certain amount of effort to stay up to speed on a lot of these issues for this system
was,
to work.
I believe she was newly elected.
Well, she was actually part of the group of Republican senators that put together this border deal that was has been.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I mean, she's actually been out there because I don't know the. But I again, it's just and again, I'm not saying that everybody has to be following 24/7 politics, but in this era, I have a worry that right now, people are not. They're engaged in an emotional way based on their team, but whether or not they're truly engaged on what the president's record is or what the governor's record is or what the mayor's record is, or I have my doubts.
Well, we could go outside this door right here, go down the street and talk to 50 people and ask them point blank right now, can you name our two U.S. senators?
Long-time serving senators, by the way.
Yeah, and I would bet that you would get less than 50% of them would get them both right.
I know what you mean. Exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. Bob Look with us here in hour number one. Another beautiful start weather-wise. We're going to find out what to expect. Maybe another very warm day. We'll find out from meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:20, 32 degrees in Wausau at our studios on the corner of Wausau, at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Holy cow, sometimes it just, at least I know what day it is today. It's the 13th day of
It's the
March.
Middle of the week.
There you
We're
go.
We're halfway there.
It is a hump day Wednesday. It is heading downhill towards the weekend, and I'm going to shut up and introduce our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning. Another beautiful start here in central Wisconsin.
Happy hump day.
Oh, no kidding. But, I mean, yesterday was just, talk about a spring day. Got out in the afternoon, sun is shining, the jackets are put away, beautiful start again, sunshine here to start off our Wednesday. By the way, did we get to the record yesterday?
We did not get to that record yesterday. We got pretty close, though. Temperatures were so nice. We were into those mid to upper 60s. It felt beautiful. I went outside. I didn't know what to wear, to be honest with you. I knew it was so warm, but I knew that the winds the day before were so strong. And I was like, what's it really going to feel like? But it felt fantastic, didn't it? I went for a hike. Did you get outside?
I did get outside yesterday afternoon. It was just, you had that feeling on the skin when it's when a certain level. I mean, even on a warm day, you can sometimes have that little bit of, as you said, with the wind. Yesterday, it was not like that. It felt spring for sure.
It sure did. And it's going to feel like that again today. Now, we're not going to hit the upper 60s, but we will climb to the low to mid 60s today. It's the last really warm day until we take a slide down to actual seasonal temperatures, which is crazy. We're going to be to our average highs, or we should be which is going to feel quite cold to us after we've been spoiled practically for 4 weeks in a row.
And again, the average temperature is, what, around 40 degrees, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, they're pushing the upper 30s to low 40s at this point in the year. So we're going to be sliding down to that. In fact, we are going to be hitting 50 degrees for highs tomorrow, and it's going to be a damp and rainy, dreary kind of day. We could see it flip over to some snowfall by tomorrow night. Very, very light accumulations. Don't freak out. This is not bust out the shovels or the snowblower, not at all. And then for Friday, we'll see the sunshine back and still in the 50s. 50s for Saturday, and then we slide for Sunday into the upper 30s.
We do need precipitation. You said we're not going to get a drencher to that. Like, we kind of need, are we?
You know what's going to happen? I'm just upset about it. It's going to be just like the snowstorms over the winter where they hit the southern part of the state and dump on them and give them all the precipitation that you need, and it kind of misses us. That's what's going to be happening again. I think that the heaviest rain, half an inch to an inch, is going to hit down to the southern half of the state. And here for us, I mean, we could miss a lot of it and just get a trace to a quarter of an inch. So I think we're going to have the big umbrella need. I think that's going to be down south. We're in that severe drought level in the north woods, and it's frustrating.
And I saw there was, again, an advisory out there for people to make, you know, to be careful, because fire danger at this time of the year is actually pretty high.
It is very high right now in counties just to the south of us. Wood and Portage County, very high. Here in Marathon, high. And yesterday there was a grass fire. Someone in the town of Maine was burning the night before, went to sleep, and then the winds restarted the fire and it burned nearly 2 acres.
Oh, wow.
That was yesterday.
Obviously, weren't listening to you yesterday.
I know. I just want to listen to me, you guys. Don't do it. Just hold off a few weeks.
All right. What are the details for our forecast?
Yes, bright and beautiful. Nice today. However, we will see some sun. I mean, the sun go away throughout the afternoon. Clouds are going to increase as the storm system hits us. So late afternoon, much more cloudy out there. Highs will tap the low to mid 60s. Tonight, we'll see that rain arriving, starting off as sprinkles. The best chances are tomorrow afternoon. So that's when you're going to want to make sure to have the rain boots on. You're not going to want to wear the flip-flops in 70s, because highs tomorrow will be just 50 degrees. And it's going to be windy, and it's going to be damp. So it's going to be feeling completely different. We could see some snowfall Thursday night as lows fall below freezing into the upper 20s. So it'll be crisp and potentially snow globe Friday morning. And then we'll see the sun come back out. Highs will stay in the 50s. We'll see more clouds increasing for the weekend because a chance of showers pushes in Saturday night. And then we could see a little bit of snow by Sunday morning. And it kicks on out of here. We'll be highs in the upper 30s, which is technically at that point below average.
Which is, again, exceptionally rare in these areas, because for the last year, it's been amazing that almost every day is above normal. Again, the new normal.
The new norm.
But yeah.
Wausau with no snow. What the heck?
I feel for those golfers. They're ready to get out there on the weekend, and it'll be temperatures in the 30s. But they'll still get out there because those people love to get out and golf.
Yeah, but they have all year. They have much time.
Exactly right. Well, Brittany, again, thanks for the information. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day.
Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist. Right now, again, in downtown Wausau, temperature of 32 degrees under fair skies. The winds are calm, so no wind chill to speak of. The dew point is 24, relative humidity of 73%. The barometer at 29.86 inches and a visibility of 10 miles.
Yeah, I know my dad's already been getting out golfing this week. Because yesterday, he went to, what was it called?
Trap?
It was a Warshaw, or how do you pronounce it? I don't. But he went golfing yesterday with a few of his friends. He said the golf course was really nice up there.
Really? Okay, very good. And I'm sure he's happy that people are going into the shop and buying and getting ready early this year, because obviously be able to, you know, you hear about the businesses that struggle during the winter. I think a golf operator would be not unhappy with
my last set of golf clubs I got from Mr. Welsh. So,
and
my dad went to the Milwaukee Golf Show a few days ago, and he sold a lot of merchandise. It was very successful up there. Good. I think he made a fairly huge amount on all the stuff he sold.
Everybody's excited.
The next time I bump into Buck, he owes me a drink.
There you go. So, absolutely great to hear. And again, a lot of folks be able to enjoy their golf coming up early this year, hopefully. Again, you know, the way things are going, April could be a drencher and nobody can get out at all. You never know.
I did swing the clubs in my backyard yesterday. So, I have to admit that.
I think that was a great idea. I mean, if I should
just to see if I can get the club over my shoulders.
Yeah, as we get older, it's like, oh, can we get.
Like a hockey slap shot.
Something you know quite a bit about. Bob Look, Chad Holmes, Ian Welsh with you here on this Wednesday morning. We have an information update coming up next. Find out the latest in news, weather, and sports. And then Bob and I will be back, and we'll talk again about the news. We'll talk a little sports later on as well. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night, plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in Central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. 8:35 here on this Wednesday morning, 32 degrees under partly cloudy skies. We are joined by Bob Look for the first hour of the program. Sean Wright coming up in hour number two. And we just heard a promo for tonight's Big High School Sports Show. Our guest will be Merrill High School boys basketball coach Troy Pieper at 6:20. And D.C. Everest hockey standout, all Wisconsin Valley Conference second team Thomas Passano, our student athlete guest at 7 o'clock. That's tonight, Big High School Sports Show, 6 until 8 p.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio. I'd like to talk about good government. And couple of days ago was again hearing Ron Johnson talk to one of those far right TV networks. So real America News, real, you know, the real America's news. And he talked about there were actually some Republicans who would actually like to govern a little bit. It's hard, you know, sometimes we rail on the Republican Party at times, and they deserve it. But there are a few Republicans that actually would like to try to get something accomplished, try to get something done. And That gets Ron Johnson upset, because Ron said, he says, from inside the bubble, inside the bubble, his little bubble, Republicans say, we need to get a result. We need to effectively govern. Now, you not think that would be a controversial statement, but to Ron Johnson, that would be, because Ron said, to me, that's almost code words. We got to do Democrat light. I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation. Number one, thank you, Ron, for acknowledging that.
He doesn't want to do his job.
No, well, number one, thank you for acknowledging that when people talk about effective government, they're talking about Democrats. They're not talking about Republicans like Ron Johnson. And number two, you're exactly right. He doesn't want to do his job. And number three, it's so much easier just to. And I think, you know, you've covered politics for a long, long time, been part of it. It is so much easier just to be the critic, to say, this is terrible. People that actually propose and implement policy to try to make people's lives better, they're the ones that get all the slings and arrows. Ron Johnson is a coward. That's the bottom line.
Well, I like to call them the backseat drivers. They're in the back seat telling you, you're going too fast. You're going too slow. Hey, turn right here. Turn left there. Yeah, no, no. You get park in that parking spot over there. They're in the back seat. When you say, well, why don't you come up to the... No. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to have to make decisions. They don't have to make decisions. You just throw out stuff to say, you should do this, you should do that. And then you say, well, come on in here and put this out there and put it out for a vote. Well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, what list of legislative accomplishments does Ron Johnson have? Of course, Ron would say, well, that's the point. I don't think we should be passing anything. But you have Tammy Baldwin every week. She is sending out material about she's working on this. She's introducing this with Republicans. Ron Johnson just sits there and goes on right-wing media all the time. That's what he gets paid to do. He gets paid. He is a broadcaster.
But he's satisfying the needs of his support.
Is he though? Is he? I mean,
because I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound really, really tears. But we have to realize that there's a group of people who are irredeemably stupid. I'm not saying, oh, maybe they're just a little wrong. No, they're just dumb. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They'll never learn anything else. They only want to hear what they want to hear because it makes them happy and keeps them, you know, and they can point fingers at people who don't have the same colored skin or don't, you know, have a different, you know, way of life. Oh, they're the ones, they're the problems, when they are the ones that just basically get in the way of getting a society that works together, works in harmony, works as, you know, you can't even convince the people of the county of Marathon County to put out a proclamation just saying that we welcome all people.
Yes.
Don't tell me that those people are, you know, oh, well, I think there's something wrong about it. You know what's wrong about it? You're incredibly dumb. You are stupid. You're ignorant. Shut up.
And Ron Johnson is the poster child for that group. You're right. You're right. I mean,
I don't normally get this.
I know, but
I try to be very more measured.
I understand. And you are.
Because I want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, you know, because I want to hear both sides of the story for anything. But when people just shut it off and just point fingers and then you ask for, well, what's your solution? They have none. No.
And people like Ron Johnson and Donald Trump give these folks free rein to be their worst selves. That's the key to leadership as well. When people say it doesn't matter who your president is or it doesn't matter who your senator is because government is so big and it's just rolling along, that's not the point at all. We have seen how having a leader that opens up, let's call it Pandora's box, to your worst instincts leads to a lot of people that are saying and doing things they would not otherwise do. And I'm not saying that having even the thoughts is a good thing, but boy, all of a sudden it's almost as though, well, the president says it or Ron Johnson says it, well, it's okay then. The leadership matters, I guess, is the bottom line.
But again, leadership matters, but let's get right, well, let me lay it out there again. This guy,
you're not giving any outs for more, these folks.
This guy got more votes statewide to be represent them in the U.S. Senate.
Three times.
But by not a big margin this last time, when all the other Democratic statewide offices, governor, attorney general, and all that, went to Democratic vote. What was the difference between the candidate who lost, the Democratic candidate who lost, And people just look at me and say, "You're not going to go there, are you?" Yes, I am.
You're going to the point where there were people that got into that booth. First race, governor, Tony Evers.
Mm-hmm.
Next race, senator, Ron Johnson.
Oh, first name is Mandela.
Right. So it's like
he's not from around here, is he? I mean, that kind of mentality.
Like you had Tony Evers, who basically, you know, his partner for 4 years. was Mandela Barnes. You voted for Tony Evers, and then you voted for Ron Johnson. Mm. What is it? Was it a policy issue? Probably not, right? Probably not. Because if you're truly thinking, you know, if I like Tony Evers and the job he's done, why would you say, oh, I also think that Ron Johnson's the guy I want to be in there.
And again, the voters can make the decision if they want to. That's their prerogative.
Right. And we've seen ticket splitters.
And all I'm saying is this. Folks, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, when you have something like, you know, that differential. It's not huge, but it's out there. And as I said before,
it is the difference ignorance, in the state of Wisconsin.
Ignorance is bliss for a lot of folks, because if you go along through life just being stupid and not having any kind of curiosity in your makeup to try to find a solution or try to find an agreement, well, that's what you get.
And again, so much is about personalities these days. And I was very, you know, the State of the Union, you heard a lot about a policy, what has been done, what should be done. What was your take on the president's State of the Union? Because obviously, most of the content seems to be, well, he was energetic. But there is so much there. There's so much meat on the bone that I like. I think, again, in the future, in 40, 50, 60 years, when people start writing about the era of this first term for Joe Biden, it'll be amazing how much was accomplished in a split government like it's been.
Yeah, well, he also had the advantage in his first 2 years where he had at least, you know, the very slim majority, yes, but still majority. That helps to at least get some things through,
right?
And because then the other side can then shoot their arrows at it and criticize it and what have you. You know,
though, real quickly, mm-hmm. we're seeing how difficult it is with a slim majority how the Republicans are unable to get anything through the House.
Well, or else they won't even put it out for a vote because
right.
they know that they probably would not win that vote because there's enough people who are Republicans who are looking at this and saying, you know, this is something we worked on. This is something that we agreed to before. We were part of putting this together. In fact, most of our concerns were accepted in this particular piece of legislation. But why aren't we doing it? Because they are afraid that's going to make the current president look good.
A win.
A win. And you as a citizen are saying, wait a minute. I don't really care who gets the credit for it. This is something that concerns us, and we seem to come up with a cooperative, you know, bipartisan way of at least doing something. Nothing's worse than doing nothing, because there's plenty of nothing being done with all
Ron
sorts
Johnson
of issues. And there you got it right there. I'm going to sit in front of this microphone and say, well, I would prefer to do nothing. What was the first thing I was complaining about? You got to change the words again. When I first walked in here, was the state senate here in Wisconsin, they're going to be done, and then they just disqualified candidates that were put out there by the governor, so now those government, you know, that you're looking for to serve the people, to serve the citizens of our state, can't be served correctly because some of these senators got a hissy fit because the state Supreme Court ruled that our guaranteed winnable districts are not going to be that way anymore. It's going to be more fair. There's a word for you that scares the... Yes, what's the four-letter word that starts with F that scares more? Folks... fair.
Actually having to reach beyond your very narrow base scares them to death. They actually have to, and you talked about in your race, you talked to folks that thought differently than you. Unfortunately, a lot of those folks on the right don't do that. They don't want to talk to people that don't think. Some do, but many don't.
But not many because, well, first of all, the previous incumbent was at the state senate here in Wisconsin, the district I ran for. he was a gentleman who would work with the other side and try to find common ground.
Listen.
And listen. You learn a heck of a lot more by listening to the, not the people you agree with, but the people you don't agree with. And you find out, okay, what is your beef? What is the crux of your feeling towards this issue? And then you hear it and you go, you know, he's got a point or she's got a point. I'll tell you what, the she's got a point, I think, is going to be more important coming up in November than people will ever expect.
Yeah, that was very strong. I thought the president making sure that...
And he pointed that out, and I totally agree. I'm a guy, and trust me, I don't think like a woman thinks on this, but when you hear the stories, and you hear the facts, and you hear how this is affecting real people, real Americans, real citizens, then you start thinking, you know, maybe I should be listening a little bit more.
Absolutely. We'll have a few more minutes with Bob Look coming up. We'll take a very short time out and then be right back here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The Marathon High School boys basketball team is heading to the state tournament. Thursday night, the Red Raiders take on Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic in a Division IV state semifinal. We'll be live at the Kohl Center for all the exciting play-by-play on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:20 and the opening tip at 6:35. Marathon High School State Tournament Basketball is brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Industrial Finishing, Underwood Construction, The Dirks Group, Brickners of Little Chicago, The People State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, Twin Forest Products, The Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, and Marathon Parts City. Marathon against Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic in a Division IV state semifinal Thursday night on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:52. Again, a very nice start here in central Wisconsin. Temperature in the low to mid-30s throughout the area. We'll have more on the weather coming up during our information update after the top of the hour. Again, coming up in the second hour of the program, we'll be joined by Sean Wright from the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. Also tomorrow, make sure you tune in. It'll be another edition of North Star Knows. Every Thursday, North Star Knows, North Star Restoration, from in the second half of the first hour of the show, from 8:34 until 9 o'clock. We talk about what North Star does. We talk about questions that folks have in terms of their homes and a whole bunch more. So North Star Knows tomorrow from 8:34 until 9 o'clock. Also, of course, on Thursdays, we start the show off with a segment with Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. And also tomorrow, we'll be interviewing Kara Whelan. Of course, Kara Whelan, part of one of the biggest tragedies in our area a number of years ago, and the anniversary is coming up next week. And we're going to talk to her about her husband, more about her husband, about what she wants to remember, what she's been doing in terms of helping in the years since. So Kara Whelan will be joining us. And Bob?
I know Kara real well.
I was going to ask you that.
Well, not really well. I
mean, but obviously.
We were forced to, but...
But that anniversary is coming up, and I don't know whether you want to say anything, but it's obviously going to be a little difficult.
Yes.
But you've been able, and real quickly, you can go into it, but you've been able to stay involved, have your voice be heard on these issues. And I imagine there are times where you're in bed, and it's not easy to stay involved after losing everything.
Well, what really kind of gets me is that when we have mass shootings, which is something that still drives me nuts, that I get calls from media people who want my take on this particular shooting. Like I've become an expert at that. I says, well, you don't become an expert. You just become another victim. You're the collateral damage, I guess. But I always like to point out that incident that happened, it'll be 7 years coming up next week, Friday, I believe, that it was basically a very scared person who did this, who had a very low opinion of women, obviously, because he had the strength to look into the eyes of those three women who lost their lives that particular day and looked them straight in the eye and shot them. Officer Whelan was gunned down by a long distance rifle shot where this individual didn't have the gumption to go stand face to face in that situation. So I always, I've said this before, and I've told folks about this. I watched the video in the bank of the shooting just a few days after it occurred, because I couldn't in my mind soak that in. It's something that I had to do for myself, because myself as a human being, I just can't fathom someone having that kind of audacity to just take the life of another person just because they want to force a divorce, or they want to sign themselves off for child support. That's the tough side. That's the tough side that's hard to handle. So I will be rather quiet and unavailable for that point in time to be on my own thoughts.
Right.
But I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, Kara and her family, just beautiful kids. And but for my wife, Diane, Karen, and Sarah, they will never, ever be forgotten in my heart. And I'm sure a lot of you folks out there, too.
Absolutely. Times 100. And look forward to talking to Kara tomorrow about her husband, about her family. As you mentioned, her children as well. She'll be with us at 9:34 tomorrow morning here on this program. Well,
I just realized that, you know, the feature that you, with me and the performing arts guy, it's the Look Right Wednesday show.
That is brilliant stuff. It's all about connection. Absolutely. Real fast. Badger hockey still going to the NCAAs?
Oh yeah. Yeah, pairwise that they're in good shape. They'll be invited. And that, I think, was one of the reasons why things didn't go well over the week. Well, I shouldn't say didn't go well. They just, Ohio State's playing for their playoff lives. So they're a little more desperation.
Yeah, their tournament started.
Yeah, it's underway now. And I know some fans are going, oh, they lost. Oh. As far as the Badger goes, well, they'll still be in the NCAA. Just like the Badger basketball team, they're going to be playing the Big Ten tournament coming up. They could lose in the first game. Well, if they lose in the first game, but if they lose, you know, early, they'll still probably get an invite.
It's cool that both the Badger men and women's hockey teams will be in the NCAAs.
Yes, it is.
And, boy, again, I love Mark Johnson.
And hallelujah! They've announced the Brewers TV package.
Wait, what did they announce? I missed that.
Bally Sports will be carrying 155 of the games, and the other ones will be done by other networks. There is no streaming thing, and I'm working on details on that, and I'll post it real soon.
Very good. Well, Bob, thanks again, and have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Bob Look joins us again first hour every other week here on the program. Coming up, information update, news, weather, and sports, and then Sean Wright coming up in the next hour as well. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 at 1230.